Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host Scott and with me as always is Dan. And following on from last week's show where we previewed the ISL International Swimming League that is happening right now in Budapest, we have actually managed to get on one of the British stars over there.
Yes, he swims for New York Breakers, doesn't he?
Yeah, so we've got Joe Litchfield coming on who is, I wouldn't even say he's just a medley swimmer, he swims every race.
He does every race. I think he's more of an IM swimmer. But I think based on the last match that we saw, he's ranked second in the whole team, actually. So
he was very impressive at last round. And we can't wait to get him on this week's show to talk about his experience inside the Budapest bubble and what he's enjoyed about racing some of the best swimmers in the world right now. Because that's the key here for British swimming. Our young swimmers are now racing against the best, like Dressel, your Ryan Murphys.
Oh, some of the lanes are completely stacked. You say, there's Chad, you've got Michael Andrew, you've got Dressel, those massive names.
And he is racing against them in his first ever ISL. So we can't wait to get him on and hear about all of his experiences from the first match day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, Joe. How are you finding your first experience of ISL?
It's really good. I think it's a bit different to the last year. I think the whole 6 weeks thing, like I feel like I've been here a long time. It's really, I think, as a team, the New York Breakers, definitely, I think we've got one of the more sort of diverse teams. So I think like there's a lot of joking around sort of in the team, which I think is really good. It's a really good feel about it. Like, we've got like another 5 weeks here, potentially, I think. So it's like, it's a really, I'm really enjoying it so far. Really enjoying the racing, sort of a bit different experience of racing. I love short course swimming, so it's really good to get in there and like, it's something I'm quite positive and confident about getting there and like race some of the best in the world.
Yeah, so the New York Breakers have they have quite a young English or British kind of core to it, don't they? There's eight of you there.
Yeah, I think the whole team in general is quite young. Like, we've got a few old ones, like a lot of the seniors, like Peter, Timmers. We had Jeanette for the first one.
Mm.
And I think they're really good in like the fact that we all look up to them as like senior athletes, but they also get involved with us, they help us. Like, there's nothing, you don't think that they're, and some of them are like 10 years older than others, and it's like you don't really think that. Everyone sort of gets along, friendly, and it's a really good like team environment. It's a really good team to be in. And like with the British, just like to it's a lot of Britain, a lot of Brits to be on the team, and I think we showed in the first round that we actually had quite a strong British showing.
Yeah,
I
definitely
think all of us, and I think it can only get better from now, with obviously our first match being what it was.
Yes, yeah. So have you taken the opportunity to look up to the more experienced swimmers and take any advice or any tips off them?
Not necessarily advice. They've obviously spoken about their experiences. We've had a few team meetings. Hmm. Like even Michael, obviously Michael's like the team captain. He's quite young, but he's also quite experienced.
Yeah.
Jeanette spoke about like her experiences, and she was saying like her first race when she raced the other day, like she was scared. Like, it's not normal. I mean, it's not normal to be scared. Like, everyone has nerves.
Yeah.
And like, she basically is showing that she feels that, even though she's so experienced, she still feels that as a swimmer pretty much every time she races, and that it's normal, like, just to get through it. Like, I was the same, like, going into my first race, like, I was nervous. Then after the first race, I was like, why am I nervous? Like, it's just a fun sort of racing, and it's good to be back racing. Like, it's just enjoy it and hopefully just, yeah, have a great time with it.
Well, when was the last time you raced before ISL?
Last time was probably March. It was March, Edinburgh. So literally the day before lockdown was announced in the UK, pretty much.
So it's a good 6 months.
We raced in Edinburgh. Wow. Yeah, it's been a long time. I think most people are the same. I think the Americans are all the same. There's a few Europeans that have managed to swim in like Seti Kalli, but they said it was like sort of just stand-ups in a pool with other countries because there was no crowd. There was no real like atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of in the same boat.
So is the main reason you joined ISL to get racing again, basically, and to enjoy swimming as a competitive side?
Yeah, I think, obviously, yeah, it's a great chance. There's not really any other chances in the world, unless you're in a country that has little COVID issue, to really race. So it's definitely, that's the main thing to come out of your experience, race some of the best in the world. Obviously, there's the money side of it, which is great. Like, you can come out here and you can win some big money if you do well. And it's just another experience, like the ISL, they're trying to make something different to what FINA and the Olympics are, and it is different, and it is quite exciting. And obviously I'd hope that in the future it keeps going. Whatever they're doing now, they can keep it going, and obviously year by year it'll improve, they'll make it better, and hopefully within time it could become like another sort of set in stone thing.
Yeah, from watching it at home, we definitely see how exciting it is. And I mean, it's almost a struggle to change our mindset in swimming, not to look at the times and to look at points instead. It's some adapting.
Yeah. It's more about winning, isn't it, rather than times, yeah.
Everyone here has said that. I think all my friends from back home and said they want to see times, and I think a lot of people have said to ISL that people want to see times, so I think maybe one day they'll show times. I think times is a big thing. As much as obviously they say it's the main thing's the points, but then even then, they don't always show the points at the end of races on the TV, so...
Yeah.
I do think they need to... That's one thing they could obviously improve on with the commentating, but obviously that's for them to sort out, and hopefully in time, if you want viewership and you want people to keep watching, I think that's what will make it better.
Yeah, well, it's only the second season, isn't it? So they're going to make a few errors now and again, but it's always something to improve on, isn't it? So it's good. At least they would know what to do, kind of thing, you know?
Well, we saw this year that there have been changes put in place. Mm. So obviously they aren't sticking to one format. They are flexible.
They're trying to figure it out, aren't they? Yes, yeah. Well, one of the big talking points is the Budapest bubble at the moment. So what's it like? Do you get to see the city? Do you get to see other team members, other swimmers around the city? Or is it all just stuck in one place?
Now, so we're on Margaret Island, middle of Budapest. We're allowed to go out for 90 minutes a day and walk around the island, but you're not allowed to go to any cafes or pubs. So you're allowed 90 minutes a day. Obviously, you can go out and see other teams. You can see other teams in the hotel as long as you're 1.5 metres apart and masks on.
Okay.
We have a team room where sort of like our team can sort of chill in there, and as long as you like abide to the 1.5 meter rules and etc., you can sort of play games and do that, this, that, and the other. Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit. We thought it was going to be stricter than it is. I don't know if that's going to change. But like, obviously, if you just stick to the rules, people aren't going to bother if you're in groups. As long as you're like spaced out, or if you're walking outside, you're allowed to take your masks off. As long as you're walking apart and. Flexible in that way. You can go out and see other people from other teams. Like, I know a lot of people have like boyfriends and girlfriends on other teams, so they're going out and seeing them and going on walks, and that's about all the time they can see them.
Well, it's nice that it's a little bit flexible, and as long as the swimmers are responsible, then there's no reason for it to be too much stricter, because there haven't been many cases. There's one or two when they've flown in, they've had a case, but then they've just isolated straight away. It's not spread around the camp at all.
Not too many. And they're testing every 5 days. You do a test every 5 days. So they're trying to, if someone has it, you'd think they'd catch them. If you have any kind of illness symptom and you tell them, you'll be put in quarantine until you get a test.
Okay.
So obviously, in a way, you've got to be safe with that, because sometimes with like swimming, people can get like, can have like runny noses, you know what I mean? Like that can happen.
Yeah.
But see, if it's anything like muscle aches, people can have muscle aches. But obviously, at the same time, you've got, is it a normal muscle ache? Is it like what I feel, or is it different? And if it's different, you probably need to report it, and then you put in quarantine until you get a negative test.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Is there any plans once ISL is done to explore the city at all, or do you have to all come back home?
No, it's we're pretty much cut off from that, because I think if you were to break the rules here, so we have like exemption to like not be in full quarantine when we get back to the UK. So if you break that, you're not going to be exempt. You'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Okay, which obviously knocks you out of your training and everything. Oh, like that.
It messes up everything then, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, the exemption is basically that we can train when we get back. Like, you can train and stay at your house, that's about it.
Yeah. So how is the training going at the moment then?
It's good, yeah. I think everyone's doing something different. Like, there's some people in the breakers, I'm guessing it's the same other teams, that are actually like working really hard throughout the week. Some people are going really easy. And then I think we're like sort of in the middle, like the British guys, the British guys who's trained at Loughborough on the other teams, probably all doing similar. Like, it's sort of a maintenance block. Like, so depending on how big the gap is between weeks, it'll depend on how hard you work. Like, this week we've done quite a hard training block. We've got three gyms. We've got a few harder sort of heavy aerobic sets at the start of the week. And now we're starting to maybe get into a bit more speed, sort of bringing sort of easy twitch, sort of get us ready for the next match.
Yes.
And it sort of varies. Like, I think Energy Standards with Max, my brother, he's there. They've got like 14 days, I think, between the first and the second. So,
that's a long time.
He'll have a solid block of training right now. But like, it varies quite a lot. I won't say it's tapering, it's kind of rested. And like from now, I think we'd probably be on the more easy side, sort of with like getting sort of race ready, race prep in the pool, trying to get us ready for the next meet.
I'm sure it's quite an unusual challenge for your coaches because, I don't know, they probably haven't had to maintain you at racing speed for 6 weeks, really. Usually it's just a two-week span, something like that.
Yeah, it is different. I think we're doing well. Like, we had a very, very, like, we were lucky to get back in, like, August, like, properly in the pool, maybe even late July. We had, like, a bit of a break. And then, but we've done, like, a really hard block of training, so we were all in, like, really good, like, fitness phases. We were all quite strong. So we're just trying to maintain that for after ISL, so we're not coming back after ISL and we're really unfit or we're really weak or we sort of need to build back up again. We're sort of going to be able to come back from ISL and sort of hit it back where we left off and sort of get back into training towards Christmas and then obviously into Tokyo, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously Tokyo is probably the main aim for pretty much everyone this year.
Well, it should be, yes.
Yeah, still the main aim.
Well, let's talk about the races that you swam then. So you did you do 11 races altogether?
Yeah, I think so. There was 5 on the first day and then there was 6 if you include all the skins, 50s on the second day.
That's quite a number of races.
It is. What, how did you do the recovery in between each race? Because, of course, each match is only 2 hours. So there's not a lot of time to the rest in or, you know, to swim down.
There's a little swim down pool behind the pool, which is the main one. You're allowed to go in there. That one thing I think they're really good with is they're not aggy about you missing the core room if you're just swimming or swimming down. Like, they're quite flexible. So, like,
okay,
if you tell them, okay, I've got this swim and I've got to swim in 15 minutes, you just make sure you're ready to go for the race and that's fine. Like, you don't need to check in the first core room. You'll just go straight to like the last core room, which is behind the screen that you come out of.
Okay.
And they're quite good with that, like, because they know people are going to do a lot of back-to-back races. And they don't really question that as long as you make sure you're there, because obviously if you don't, you're not there, the only one getting penalised would be you and your team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're quite flexible with that. It is, again, it's quite hard. Like, the first day I've not raced in 6 months, then I have 5 races. I think that's getting him down for the next one. I think I'm missing the relay in the middle of the session, which kind of spreads.
Gives
me a bit more of a gap between the 200 medley and 50 back. So hopefully I won't be, it'll still hurt, but obviously I'm used to that. My coach obviously wants me to do that from home. He's told the coach out here to make sure like I'm doing a bunch of races because it's good training. It's good experience because like, you work out in the future, so I do quite a lot of events, so like if it comes to it in the future, maybe not 2021 or but maybe like the 2024 Olympics, like you gotta get used to maybe swimming relays, individuals, semis, finals, and that's being true. Able to repeat and perform back to back to back. So if you can, more you can do now, the more it's going to be easier when you get to them heavy meets, when the long course as well. So if you can do it now, it's only going to make you better, really.
Yeah, I mean, If we look at your 50 fly race, for example, you're going against probably some of the best swimmers in the world right there. So that's some really good experience for you.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the whole experience of that is just great. Like, even the skins, like, going up against Ryan Murphy, I know after the second and the third, I didn't get my points and all that. And it's
we'll get on to that.
It just to go up against Ryan Murphy, like, if you'd have thought, I wouldn't have thought I would have at the start of the thing. Like, going into that skins, I was kind of like, oh, can I sneak in? Maybe my PB might sneak in. And then I managed to get in. And I was like, oh, well, I've got a decent endurance. I can maybe do another one. And then I got in the final. I was like, oh, this is new. Like, just a head-to-head with the fastest man in the world. It was quite surreal, I think. Obviously, the last one, like, you know, like, what happened. But, like, I think just being there, that experience, like, no one would have thought I was going to be in that final. I think the odds on that would have been pretty high. I don't think anyone would have predicted that. And I think for the breakers as well, like, sort of gave them something to cheer about. Like, so on that first heat, there was bits to cheer. Like, people swam well, was seconds, was thirds.
Yeah.
We won that one win, which was Marco, which was great, 200 breaststroke. But
that was
other than that, there wasn't really, like, too much to like win. It was always someone beating us on jackpot, and like, and just to have that at the end of the thing really like boosted the whole team, really brought the team together. I think everyone was in that box, even the physios there cheering for me at the end, sort of the whole team was just behind it. And I think that's like, even though we know we're sort of one of the lower teams, we still get behind our simmers and we still want to, like, we still strive to, like, try and do our best every time.
Yeah, it was a good way to end the meet for you, because now you can carry that momentum on to the next round, can't you?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, the skins depends on the medley relay, but at the same time, I'll be ready to do that again if I need to. Then taking it into the first day, I think the first day, I saw I'm decent in a few races, but I definitely felt better on the second day. I think that might have just been, like, blowing off some cobwebs on the first day.
Yes,
and then, like, obviously, I've had some racing, and I'm definitely feeling a lot more confident going into the next heat. And I think the team itself is. I think we could have a good battle with DC and Iron for the second, third, fourth spot, which should be a pretty fun meet.
So are there some head-to-heads in there that you're really looking forward to in the next round?
Obviously, Dressel. I mean,
yeah.
I said that before the meet, like, obviously, everyone, like, breakers, we've got Cali three times, which is a little bit rubbish. But at the same time, for me, I'm thinking, well, I'm very big for the underwater work. I'm quite big for sort of pushing myself on that and being able to race against Dressel on the 50 and the 100 foot by every meet, bar one. The other one, I'll have Chad the Quo. Like, it's a great lineup to be in. As much as they're probably going to beat me, I'd love to get next to them. Like, I think on the 100 fly at the week, I was ahead of Dressel and maybe McClough at 50, which is pretty mental. Obviously, they're not in the best shape of their lives, but just to get in there and race them head to head and sort of challenge them and get up there and give it a go is something that I really want to get used to doing more. And they might see it and they'll be like, oh, is this young guy sort of coming through? It's just good for the experience. And I think racing Dressel is definitely one of, because he's the best in the world. Like, and to be able to race him potentially next to him next time, depending on lanes, I don't know what will happen. But yeah, that's definitely the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Well, if there's someone you want to race against, it's him, or compare yourself against, because there's no one better at the underwaters or the starts or anything like that. So
yeah, well, it's definitely preparation for the bigger Tokyo meets later in the year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. You were racing in the outside lane. Is that a thing that you enjoy doing? Or would you rather be in the middle of the pool and actually being able to have one swimmer on each side of you?
You got to think about it in a positive way. I think we were quite... It's not the best, obviously. Like, I remember the 200 medley, I didn't really know where anyone was apart from Lewis next to me in that form, Max on the inside. And I didn't really know that Andrew Roselskar and Tomo were at the other side of the pool for LA. So I didn't really... So I looked at the video and I was catching one of the LA boys like a train on the last length because he was dying. So maybe if he was next to me, and I might have pushed even more. So
yes,
it's not the best, but I mean, you've got to deal with what you've got to deal with. Like, we're on the outside, so they might not see us, so they might not even think about it.
True.
Yeah, you've got to think of the positives. I think I'd rather have a middle lane, and I think at the next meet we might end up getting some lanes nearer to the middle, which I think would be better because then you can sort of see the whole field a little bit clearer.
Yeah, it's almost a shame that each club isn't spread out around the pool rather than two lanes next to each other.
Well, maybe that's something they can improve on next time.
Yeah. Then it's like people can sometimes work together, like teams, like drafting each other. I think I saw that last year. I think someone hopped on Dressel's wave and or maybe Adrian, someone hopped on Adrian's wave. I don't remember. It's something like that.
So I don't know. That's interesting.
There's sometimes a little bit of tactics, but yeah, I think you got to think of the positives, really, if you're in the outside lanes. Like, if you're in lane 8, you've got less waves. You only got waves coming from one side. You can maybe get away without someone seeing you from the other side of the pool. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, of course, Max is also swimming, and he swims for Energy Standard. Is there a rivalry between you both? Because you both swam the 200 IM.
There's no rivalry. I think, obviously, there's banter. There's things go on. But like it's just competition, isn't it? It's racing. We race against each other all the time for GB, so
yeah,
it's not really much different apart from the fact that it's not really like we're battling energy for any places. Like, the only real thing would be that we'd be racing head to head, and that'd be it. Like, points on that race, because the odds are energy are going to be in the top four, and we'd be like maybe fifth to eighth sort of area at the end. So it's sort of just like, obviously I want to beat him, he wants to beat me. and that's sort of still the rivalry that goes on. And I managed to get him in the first one. I'll get him again, hopefully, in the next one in a couple of weeks. It's normal, probably love going on. Nothing too intense. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you've seen on Twitter at all, but there was quite a bit of support for you about not winning any points for jackpot times. So as the swimmers actually racing in it, how do you feel about the jackpot times? Is it something you're not really supportive of? Or?
I think it has potential to be quite a good idea. As in, I think it has the potential. It's like, it means you can't sack off a race. Like, But I think on some races, the times are just too short. Like the 50s, like, it's like less than a second on most of the 50s, which I think is just, like, when you're racing someone like Dressel or Ryan Murphy, they're like, they're the quickest men in the world. And like, some people might just be doing the 50. And yeah, you might say, we'll put a 50 swimmer in, but there's a limited number on the roster, so you can't always do that. And I just think some of them need to be maybe edited. And like with the skins, I think the jackpot in the skins, it just, there's a few, like with mine, like I got less points than the Cali boys, even though I got to the final.
Yeah, see, that doesn't sit well with me.
In the London one, I saw Dina won the skins, but still got less points than Guido. And I know they're still on the same team, but if they were separate teams, that doesn't make sense. Because say if Dina was swimming for DC, DC, because they won the skins, should get more points than London. Mm. He individually should get more points than him.
I think that's like, a tactic that London Raw were looking at doing. They were getting someone to bomb out the first two 50s and stick another swimmer to get the jackpot on the last one.
I mean, I'm all up for jackpot times in the other races, but if it's skins, I think it shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, and I think the whole like stealing money bit as well. That's the thing.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's right. That's a bit ridiculous, because there was nothing said originally in the technical pack about stealing money. There was only stealing points, and then no one really knew what was going on. I spoke to the Cali boys, and they obviously had their money stolen as well in the second round. But like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I'm going to obviously go into the next round and just try and win more. Or win and get the better experience. But I think at some points it just gets to the point where like you have someone like Lily King, she was stealing everyone's points. Like it gets a little bit, it just gets a little bit ridiculous, and it's sort of like you're stealing from people, even though they could have had a really good race and got like a national record, but because they're racing the world record holder, it doesn't really sit too well. Like I think there was an example. So Abby Wood, she went a 2:05, so I'm possibly the fastest PB, second fastest in the whole ISL, but she was racing Melanie Margalis instead of racing maybe, and then she's got to race her again in two more meets instead of racing the meet after, which was one in a 2:07. So like she would have jackpotted a few people in that. Instead, she got 7 points for second, and Melanie Margalis jackpotted. So there's just like,
it's difficult, yeah.
Obviously, you can't complain that, because that's just when you go up against head-to-head against teams. But there's a few like bits around it that just sometimes just don't make the whole lot of sense. And yeah, the whole money bit, I think, gets a little bit personal with like you're stealing money from someone else, even though they've swam well.
Yeah, that's not something we've really thought about, if we're honest. No.
But when you put it like that, it sounds pretty bad, actually, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, to finish off the interview, something we like to do is just some quick fire questions so that our listeners can get to know you just that slightly bit better. So you up for that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, so what's your favourite event?
Two medley.
Your swimming idol?
Probably Phelps.
The hardest set you've ever done?
Hardest set? I've done 10 300s IM. That was long course as well. That's pretty brutal.
Doesn't sound very nice, does it?
No. And if you were to go on a road trip, who would be the three other guests in the car with you?
Guests. I'll take Max. And I've always thought about wanting to go around America on a road trip, which is quite cool. I don't know.
They can be anyone.
Anyone? Yeah. Okay. Sasha Brancoen. And I'll take... who else? I'm trying. It's hard to think on the spot.
We've had someone take their dog before.
Take someone. Oh, my dog. I think my dog's. Is that someone?
Yeah, that I do. That I can. Well, thank you so much for giving up your time to join us on this week's podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and really interesting to actually hear a swimmer's insight into ISL.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Well, good luck for your next match and we'll be watching a keen eye on you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's it for this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you have enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on YouTube or all your usual podcast providers. We are back next week, hopefully, with another guest from ISL.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, hopefully.
We have some in the pipeline, so hopefully we can chat through with more swimmers at the biggest meet in the world right now.
Absolutely.
Can't wait. So I will see you in 7 days.
And we'll catch you on the next one.